Well, the vast majority of scientists agree that we need to move away from burning fossil fuels, which are polluting and contributing to climate change, and instead look to clean and renewable energy sources, things like wind and solar and biofuels. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us on Wisconsin Public Radio. And to make that transition, Wisconsin communities, small, large, rural, urban, are getting assistance from the Clean Energy Community Initiative. And with us is the leader of that initiative, Oliver Schmitz. He is an Associate Dean for Research Innovation in the College of Engineering at UW-Madison. Talk with him about some of the community-led clean energy projects that are currently in the works. Maybe your community is part of that. Maybe not, and you'd like it to be. So I hope you'll join in with your questions or maybe reflections on how the program might be working in your community. Love to hear that, too. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Oliver Schmitz, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here.
A year ago, you came on the show to talk about the Clean Energy Community Initiative. But it bears repeating, it's been a year. What's the mission of this effort?
The mission is to bring technologies that we at the university, as well as in the Wisconsin Technology Enterprise, develop to communities in a way that they are selected by the community priorities, values, and needs. So market pull compared to technology push. We want to learn from communities what is their desire, what they need, what can address their priorities, and really support them in the clean energy transition. And then we go and find technologies that can fit the purpose.
So, and clean energy, you know, it's referred to as sustainable energy, I think. How does this fit government and industry goals, sort of transition away from fossil fuel-based energy system to use more of the wind and solar and so forth?
Yeah, we think as a collective in this clean energy community initiative, that's really a collective effort. It's not a single entity effort. It's really broad across the state. Many different partners are involved. And the first realization really is this transition into a clean energy ecosystem that does not burn fossil fuels to produce energy, that reduces environmental burden in general and produces energy in a clean way. This is a collective effort with all communities, with everybody, really. It impacts everything from job creation, job situations, how people work, how people live, hopefully improves the living and the benefits of everybody. And that's a challenge that cannot be solved by single entities and single efforts. It needs to be holistically two-way with communities and on the table with communities driving this change.
And UW-Madison's College of Engineering is kind of leading, or not kind of, it's leading this initiative to develop community-based clean energy projects and working with other units on campus as well.
Yeah, it is. The effort is, I don't consider it as led by us. We have, with partners on campus, thought about the challenge, how can we engage in a two-way engagement sense as an academic institution with our environment on this massive challenge that needs to be community-based. And that was an exploration on its own, which took us about 1 year to learn much more about what two-way engagement really means. We don't come out with our technologies and convince communities to adopt them and to use them, but we learn as technology specialists about those priorities and needs and work with communities to identify solutions. This was a paradigm shift for us. We have done this in an environment where there is a lot of money around for community-driven, community-based technology transition. The Biden administration in the bipartisan infrastructure law, as well as the Inflation Reduction Act, has liberated a lot of money if Wisconsin wants to successfully compete for it, it has to be community-based. That's a mandate also from the federal side. And so this ecosystem really was what spurred this broad initiative that's now led by more than 120 partners in the state together, not just by us as a single entity.
And that is really, really cool. And maybe you can talk about what communities have told you. What have they told you about their greatest energy needs?
First of all, the process itself was a huge learning experience for us as academics, for our faculty, and it has created an ecosystem of true discovery about this community values. It's not so easy to walk into a room and say, tell me what you need and I will give you the solution. We're not just selling a product or so, but it requires a longer period of building trust and building a partnership. And once this has happened, that we are at the table just because, without a real purpose, without a proposal looming or so, but just because to build the partnership, that was the first step. And in this process, we have learned about how much more hands-on and direct the priorities and needs are compared to the high-end research that we are often doing in the labs here. So how do we get stuff out of the lab to address community priorities in a way that it is impactful and tractable right away? This is really one major outcome for us on the technology, on the College of Engineering side. And many faculty have indulged into this new ecosystem and are part of these proposals, bringing solutions to communities that deal rather with how do you fix solar panels on a house in a very efficient way compared to how you improve the efficiency of the photonic process inside of the solar panels. That's a whole different environment, whole different thought approach. And this change of thought is really happening, and that's something which we as an initiative are really proud of.
And I was kind of proud of the fact that my academic department, Life Sciences Communication, is involved in a little bit.
Yeah, in fact, that was an important contributor from the get-go. I just came out of a meeting before this interview. The life science communication, the human ecology aspect of these challenges is something that cannot be missed when you deploy technology, when you bring technology into the markets. And the interaction and the learning experiences of the conversation on campus to develop this ecosystem, to drive this change of thought, was really, really driven in a major way by Life Science Communication as well as the Nelson Institute.
Jan in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jan.
Well, hi. Thank you so much for having this guest. I was really wondering, as I walked around my neighborhood, I suddenly hit me. We've got a lot of homes with dark roofs, some of them painted dark colors. And from early childhood, you know that black or dark colors absorb heat. And we're kind of in a crisis now. And I was wondering, with your expertise in buildings and building rules and so forth, if anybody is even thinking about establishing some guidelines and rules for apartment buildings, which I live in. The newer ones sometimes are painted black. And this is a heat sink. And so I was wondering for roof also. For the size of buildings, are there any rules or regulations in any community?
So my background is nuclear engineering, and this is actually a good example why a huge community platform is necessary. If I wanted to answer this question comprehensively, I would go to a faculty that is knowledgeable about building codes and energy standards. So, but as a physicist, I can definitely resonate with your observation. A dark painted building will absorb more heat, which is good in the winter because then you might save some on your heating costs. In the summer, it's not so good because it gets too warm. So I must imagine that the building codes prescribe some form of mixed paint and window area congruence in how buildings are built and painted and where windows are placed, etc.
Jan, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. How do you help a community realize its vision for generating and using clean energy? That's a big question.
I was just busy with my headphones. Yeah, so this is a big question in the transition in particular. We are going away from 70% fossil fuel-driven energy system in Wisconsin, want to replace it. and create energy generation that relies on other sources. It could be renewable, photovoltaics, and wind is obviously big. And you see this a lot in the proposals that we are supporting. Just today I heard from a major win of two proposals in Wisconsin in the EPA Solar for All program, which brings 2 times $63 million to Wisconsin communities through partner organizations in the state to deploy solar and photovoltaic. So that's obviously a transition. I, as a nuclear scientist, think about it also in terms of the baseload generation. So what is available all the time when there's no wind, when there is no solar? You need other sources. At the moment, this is burning gas and burning coal. We want to replace this, so you need other technologies. Here at UW, we are big and very proficient in nuclear energy generation. Nuclear fusion that I work in could be a perspective, and this is also something at the moment, as it is an early technology, we are bringing to the communities for consideration. We are running workshops, we are running focus groups, so we can see the basis for a well-informed community platform in Wisconsin when this technology is ready. Communities could decide if they want to adopt it or not.
Our guest today, Oliver Schmitz, Associate Dean for Research, Innovation, and Director of the Granger Institute for Engineering in the College of Engineering at UW-Madison. He's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today, and we'll go into some more details on how Wisconsin communities are exploring clean energy options. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you with us today on WPR. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about transitioning to sources of clean, renewable, and sustainable energy. It's a goal of government at every level, including our towns and cities. And UW-Madison's Clean Energy Community Initiative is facilitating local clean energy projects. And its leader, engineering professor at UW, Oliver Schmitz, with us to talk about those efforts throughout the state. So is your community making a shift to clean energy? Maybe you're involved in one of these initiatives, maybe as a utility rate payer. What do you want to know about how your electricity is generated? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. You can email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. Lee emailed us to ask how to find a reliable installer of solar panels out of the many companies that are out there advertising for this they have this service.
Yeah, I think it's important maybe to find an objective entity that can consult you on it. Focus on Energy, for instance, is a very good partner in our network that helps us a lot to understand this landscape. But there are others out there that you could reach out to make a selection.
But you're a nuclear fusion scientist. What's the role of nuclear power in Wisconsin's clean energy future, do you think?
At the moment, it's no active role because there is no nuclear power station. And, nuclear energy generation, we differentiate between nuclear fission, which is splitting heavy items. So that's a technology that's being used in the world today. And nuclear fusion, which is the most fundamental energy source of the universe. The stars produce energy with this method. It is fusing, so bringing light atoms together and making them, creating a more heavy element. And that produces a lot of energy. That's a technology we are developing. Nuclear fission is available. And many people in the world advocate for, when we think about transitioning coal plants, so large capacity power plants, into something that does not emit carbon, that carbon dioxide, that does not emit pollutants, thinking about fission plants for now, and then developing a strategy and the technology for nuclear fusion in the future. And there's some conversation in the state, the moratorium to to not consider nuclear technology was lifted several years ago. Since then, there is a conversation going on. And that's one of the goals of the community initiative, to see how communities think about it, how can we create consent-based siting concepts, and is it actually a community-based option for Wisconsin?
Jeff in Delafield has a concern or a question. Let's go there. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. One of my concerns is I really wonder, are we considering the full impact of all the changes that we're making as we embark on this path to clean or renewable energy? And I like to use the example of corn ethanol. That was done as it was supposed to be a benefit to the environment. What we found out is it's probably one of the worst things that we've ever done for the environment in terms of pollution from the fertilizer that we have to use to grow that much corn, and it gets into our lakes and rivers, and it contributes to the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. And we talk about solar farms. We're talking 8,000-acre solar farm covered with glass panels. Is that really the right thing for our environment? So that's my comment. That's my concern.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling. Oliver, comments?
Yeah, thank you very much, and I fully acknowledge the concern as a technologist, as a researcher in these areas. In nuclear energy, obviously, we are confronted with similar concerns about the safety and the environmental impact of storing waste from nuclear processes and so on. So I very much acknowledge the community concern about this. How can we address it? First of all, we need to do the deep and reliable research to enable and to understand these technologies. And on the other hand, when we field them and when we deploy them at scale, it is really important to have different phases of the deployment planned, where one can assess the impact of the technology on the environment in regimented studies, and on the other hand, deploy at scale and at the speed that we need to do it to impact the overarching impact of burning fossil fuels and polluting the environment this way. So there's always a trade-off between the speed at which we bring something new into communities, into the market, and replace something that we know has a bad impact on the climate and on our environment.
Jeff, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. John in Madison, we'll go to you. John, hi.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to know if there is an improvement in electricity storage for both city and rural areas, because we know if the sun or wind is not available, we have to be able to use the stored electricity. And I'd like to know electricity storage is improving.
You've got a project. You probably can talk about that in some detail, Oliver.
Yeah, thank you. This is a very important question. As you said, you know, wind and solar is not there 24/7 in the lull times and dark times. We have to replace it with other energy forms. We could generate it by large plants, or we can store the energy when we have excess energy. There's a lot of developments in this area. One really exciting project that we are also part of is driven by Alliant Energy. They are bringing technology from Europe to the Columbia Energy Center site, so the coal plant site at Columbia, where they it's very traditional technology. You practically compress gas at the time when you have excess energy into cylinders, and at the time when you need the energy, you expand the gas across a turbine again and recuperate the energy that you have stored. The system works at efficiencies of 70% to 80%, which is for energy storage system very remarkably high, and it uses relatively simple technology. However, it is an integrated system that is being deployed in the United States for the first time by Alliant Energy here in Wisconsin, together with a European vendor. And that brings another aspect of it. Now you bring new technology, possibly supply chain opportunities to Wisconsin that can feed local economy, that can serve local communities by offering economic benefits.
And that's working with Alliant Energy, if I'm not mistaken, and you've got, what do they call it, an energy dome or something in Columbia County.
Yeah, Exactly. This is his project. It's called Energy Dome. That's actually the brand name of the company from Italy in Europe who has produced the system so far on a 2-megawatt scale. They are building the first one now here in Wisconsin on a 20-megawatt scale, which can power about 10,000 homes for about 10 hours with electric energy. So that's quite a deployment at scale. And this is to the previous caller, something where you can test this technology and where you can evaluate it on a rapid time scale. And then this system, because of its simplicity, could be multiplied, replicated at different places in the state. And then it becomes a really important backbone of the renewably powered energy grid in Wisconsin.
It sounds great, and the community is certainly going to benefit from that.
I think the community locally, yes, because there's new technology, there are new career pathways. This attracts a young workforce to go into the clean energy domain and seek job opportunities there. At the same time, we have to create these job opportunities. So new technologies per se bring different types of workforce, different type of job opportunities. And within the community benefit, community clean energy community initiative, we are working with the tech schools, with Madison Area Technical College, as well as with tribal tech schools to adapt their certificate, their associate degree programs now towards these technologies, such that workforce can be created in Wisconsin and everybody can benefit from having this new technology in the market. So it's not just, you know, a better and more reliable backbone for the clean energy transition, but at the same time, our concept foresees to integrate these benefits to communities, to bring new jobs, to bring economic benefits directly.
Yeah, it sounds great. And maybe you could give us some examples of some of the communities that you've been, other communities that you've been working in.
Yeah, one specific domain that we have interacted a lot with is our tribal communities in Wisconsin. We have, with the Clean Energy Community Initiative, set up a partnership with the Midwest Tribal Energy Resource Association. This is a huge network of 23 tribal communities in the Midwest that consider together clean energy solutions and clean energy opportunities that meet their individual priorities and views on how we interact with the environment. And that's a large learning opportunity for us as technologists, because these people, these communities, for aeons, they work on protecting the environment on very, very clearly defined priorities, and absorbing them, taking them into account when we consider clean energy solutions is a big opportunity for us to learn. We have worked with the Bad River Band of the Lake Superior, Ojibwe, for instance, on a couple of proposals to the Environmental Protection Agency or the Department of Energy to enhance their solar, photovoltaic, and storage capacities on tribal lands, such that they become more energy independent, that they have a better energy resilience, and that we can meet their understanding of energy sovereignty as an independent and sovereign nation. That was very inspiring, and also at the same time, you see how these technologies day to day make a difference in the tribe.
I saw some comments from some of the tribal leaders on that, and they were pleased with the approach that was taken by your team.
This is very good to know. And we, as an initiative, when we meet every 2 weeks with a variety of partners who can make it to these planning council meetings. We tremendously appreciate this opportunity. This is this level of partnership and connectivity that I mentioned in the beginning, which we were blessed with, that the community invited us to the table, consider together with us to write proposals, develop concepts. With some tribal groups like the Oneida Nation, for instance, we are supporting them and working together with them to write clean energy plans for their communities. And this is really the moment when, as technologists, we're sitting at the table and we are learning hands-on. This is something that this community would really feel they would value, they would meet their priorities, it would be impactful. And again, there's always a value proposition for us on the academic side. This is a rich learning experience and an environment that we were not typically exposed to before. And this together, I think, for this clean energy transition challenge is necessary to make it right and to do it successful.
Yeah. Outside the tribal communities, are there other communities that you're working with across in the state?
Yes, we are. We practically in the beginning and conceptualized our efforts. We looked at rural communities as well as urban underserved communities, as well as tribal communities, as well as farmland communities. They all have kind of, even on this assortment, different challenges and different value propositions when you when clean energy is considered. So we are working with a group in Milwaukee, for instance, on reimagining how their energy supply in very underserved and overburdened local communities in Milwaukee could look like in 10 years. What is their clean energy vision? It starts from rain gardens and green spaces inside of their neighborhood that have an environmental impact by capturing water and keeping the environment clean, actually also downstream where the water goes down into Milwaukee. At the same time, these houses in some cases are so fragile that you cannot even think about deploying photovoltaics on the roofs. So first we have to enhance the housing infrastructure. And the near-term challenge is not the most efficient heater, but a heater at all. So it's a very different environment when we compare this to challenges of rural communities or tribal communities. They might have the same, so there is definitely a synergy, but often there are specific views and priorities on what is the most next step impactful item that you could help with.
Yeah. So where are you with the Milwaukee project?
It's a variety of proposals. You know, the opportunity is large, and the first step usually is to engage with the communities to understand what are these next step near-term priorities. And then once we have learned about the priorities and discussed possible solutions, we go out and try to help with partners which proposal opportunities could be furnished. So we are in this process to listen, to learn, to build a concept, to write clean energy plans, and then pursue specific proposals. There's large proposals out there, for instance, a program that's called Community Change Grants, which is really, as the name says, focused on changing the community solutions, but also the community resilience. So how is the community organized towards the challenges that a changing climate, that changing weather conditions will present to them? So it is both sides, solution on the emission, climate impact side, but also on the resilience side. And that's a very rich and very complex environment, which, for instance, the Department of Life Science Communication is very engaged with to, you know, set up a process that's equitable also within the communities. This is, from the social side, a very, very healthy environment to explore and develop good solutions.
So if there are communities who might be interested, you know, somebody might be listening today and saying, gee, I wonder if our community, or I wonder how we might get involved in this.
Yeah, we have a website, and on the website there's a request form. You can right away just write us an email, write me an email. So the website is www.ceci.edu. And on this website, you find a registration or a request form, and we will immediately answer, and we could engage or would engage gladly.
So it's CCEI?
It's CECI, so for Clean Energy Community Initiative, CECI.
CECI.edu, and I'm pretty sure Joel Patnod has put this up on our page today that we'll be able to find this.
Thank you. That's great.
You're involved in outreach in a lot of different ways. Oliver, I know you're involved in the K-12 education arena. Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, that is one. I mean, this was always a passion of mine in my area of fusion energy. So early on when I came to UW, I formed a plasma academy. So that was to bring high school teachers and students together to the university and let them explore plasma physics, which is the underlying method of fusion energy. So when we started the Clean Energy Community Initiative, automatically there was a lot of consideration. How do we, in the information side and engagement side, make sure that the youngest people in the education chain are knowledgeable about these technologies, can consider them, because those are really the people who will go into the workforce and they have choices in all directions for their life. And for the clean energy transition, it's important to have clever people, to have people who can do this at all scales of the education pathway. And therefore, we engaged early on, not only with the tech colleges, but we have programs with local high schools where we bring, mostly through fusion energy, but also other technologies, those aspects into the high schools, into elementary schools even.
Well, that's all part of the Clean Energy Community Initiative, isn't it? So that's kind of a long-term.
Yeah, we think the workforce development, obviously as an academic educational institution, it's part of our key competency. And this is why we often help through the workforce side in community benefits plans when community-wide federal proposals, because these community benefits plans are a merit review criterion. So they are part of the success if you get the proposal funded or not. And obviously, we can bring in expertise in workforce development. And that is a broad spectrum. It starts in the K-12 realm to inform students, these are career opportunities, these are technologies. We answer questions even about climate change, deliberations about emissions, environmental impact, and address fears. Some think, okay, the coal plant is operated by 500 people. The PV and solar array doesn't need a lot of people. Where are the jobs? So that are questions we are seeing at the high school level. And addressing this and bringing in, explaining them what are the opportunities in new technologies, what could replace traditional jobs with new upskilled jobs that might even have a better pay. These are all questions outside of the real technologies that we try to bring already into the K-12 range.
And there are, 500 jobs you mentioned with one, but with the clean energy, somebody might say, well, where am I going to get a job? I mean, there are a lot of jobs possibilities.
Absolutely. I mean, it's proven when you look into studies and you see how the job market turns around. The clean energy market is a job generator, but these are different jobs. This is just the traditional jobs that the community around a coal plant knows for maybe 4, 5, 6 decades now have to be reimagined. Now it is not the coal plant anymore, but the energy dome. So it's not a coal-burning technology that you are serving with the workforce, but one which deals with compressed gases. So you have to reskill or upskill people or educate a workforce for this new technology. And then if in this energy transition, Wisconsin acts cleverly and attracts these companies, for instance, to be the U.S. foothold for the company from Europe, say, in the U.S., and they establish the supply chain, now you address and touch the manufacturing domain that is strong in Wisconsin, and you bring new jobs in different areas of manufacturing to Wisconsin. These are all, you know, replacement jobs for something that was a traditional occupation, now becomes maybe a higher-tech, better-pay occupation.
Well, it's and what's your hope for the next 5 years with this initiative?
I first of all hope that we will synergistically in the state our initiative as well as many others. For instance, the Governor's Office for Clean Energy and Sustainability recently formed the Climate Action Navigators Network, which is something very similar, and we work very close. And there are many more of these networks and private entities out there that are committed to the cause of making the clean energy transition a success. And I hope we all can work together, and in 5 years we look back and Wisconsin was the state that won most of these federal dollars and is deploying them efficiently on a two-way engaged sense with communities. This is really the vision of us and I think of many people in the state.
Very cool and very interesting. Oliver, thank you so much. Oliver Schmitz, our guest today, who leads the Clean Energy Community Initiative, part of a great program. And I want to thank you for listening today and remind you there's lots more in store on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller.